I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. For the last decade and a half, an important part of Juneteenth activities in Lexington involves a ceremony at African American Cemetery No. 2 on East 7th Street. It contains the graves of more than 100 military veterans. Some of them are former slaves who served in the U.S. Colored Troops of the American Civil War. For a preview of this year's Juneteenth Jubilee, I spoke with board member and noted historian Yvonne Giles.
The Juneteenth Jubilee celebration that we're hosting in African Cemetery No. 2 this coming Saturday, the 19th, was initiated in 1999. That was the very first Juneteenth celebration in Lexington, and there were several partners who were involved in it, as well as the cemetery. And then there was a hiatus. You know, these projects, these community activities, take a lot of work and money. So from 1999 to 2005, there was no consistent Juneteenth celebration. In 2005, the cemetery board decided to make it part of our programming over the rest of our existence. It was part of our 10-year plan of work. And community involvement, community education is part of that plan of work. And Juneteenth, of course, fit perfectly into that plan. So, you know, we've just built on our history from 2005 consistently. Each year, our program honors the veterans of the United States Colored Troop. And we always find nuggets of information that we share. So this year we decided to do a handbook, history and handbook, because it talks about emancipation from 1863 until 1865. It came in stages. It didn't come all at once. And we have Sergeant Robert Bale, who is part of the 12th Heavy Artillery Unit reactivated here in Kentucky. He does a great job at sharing our history with the United States Colored Troop, and he's going to do that this year, talking about how the regiments actually got organized and were trained. And then we have Mr. Phil Maxim. Now, he is with the Donovan Scholar, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, OLLI is for short. He is presenting information about the 116th because he knew about William Birney, who was a native, well, he wasn't a native Kentuckian, but he had moved here to Kentucky. He became an abolitionist, but he was also a commanding officer of 116th. So we are introducing slowly the history of each of the units, not just the overall units that were organized here in Kentucky. So our Juneteenth program has evolved. We're really happy and pleased with the way that it is presented. We have it's a dress uniform. All the participating groups, the 12th Heavy and the Sons of Union Veterans, they all come in military costume and they present themselves in the fashion that military units would present themselves. We have gun salutes, taps, laying of the wreath, and speakers. Now, didn't Sons of Union Veterans, the Civil War, we just linked with them in 2013, but they have been participating, and they add such a wonderful note to this celebration because they are all about preserving the history of Union veterans. And their particular unit is named after an African-American who is a member of the 12th Heavy Artillery. So it all kind of melds together, and it's just beautiful. I just can't imagine anything any better. And our Juneteenth literally honors the men who fought for our freedom. And majority of them were enslaved individuals. So for them to leave an area of enslavement and join a military unit to fight, not knowing what was going to happen to them, it just says so much about their awareness of their responsibility to future generations. And that's what we emphasize, because without their assistance during the Civil War, over 24,000 Kentucky men, which was about a third of the total Kentucky men who joined, who fought in the military, were black. And a lot of the people don't know that, but their effort toward the end of the war in 1864, June 1864, helped the Union to be preserved and freed enslaved people forever. So those are the things we emphasize.
Oh, without a doubt. And the presence of Camp Nelson in this narrative is something also to emphasize as well, correct?
Yeah, oh, definitely, because Camp Nelson was one of several recruitment training centers. It became the largest training center in Kentucky. And so it's like, 30 miles south of us on U.S. 27? And their history there, they have done such a great, great job at restoring the campsite and detailing the history that now it's a national park. So we're really, really pleased. And we did have Dr. McBride, Stephen McBride, who is interpretive director there at the park. He came to speak to us 1 year, and he, too, provided information that none of us knew. So we're always pleased. We reach out to those people who have the background and the knowledge. It's not something we make up. It's factual. You know, we try to check our facts and do what we're supposed to do to present good information. The other thing that most people are not aware of is that General Gordon Granger, who read the general order that freed the last of the slaves in Texas, had been stationed here in Lexington. He was at the Bullock House, Bodley Bullock House, during the Civil War. And, of course, he got moved around as a military officer. And he was assigned to the Department of Texas in June, specifically to announce that emancipation had occurred, the war was over, and all enslaved people were free. General Gordon Granger died in New Mexico. That's where he and his wife had moved, but his body was returned to Kentucky, Lexington Cemetery. He has a beautiful obelisk monument. And this year, as an added plus to our program, prelim to our program, the Sons of Union Veterans raised money to have his monument cleaned. And also this Saturday at 1:30, they are rededicating that marker at Lexington Cemetery. It is limited numbers of people. Wear your mask, bring your chair, but they are going to be rededicating his marker. And Cemetery Number 2 has supported their effort to bring recognition to his gravesite and see that this is done. So that's a plus. From 1:30 to 7:30 is exactly 6 hours. It took Gordon Granger 6 weeks to deliver the message of freedom in Texas. And we hadn't planned this. We had not planned it. We just, you know, knew what we had to do and did it. And I thought, oh, I can't believe 6 hours from the time they dedicate his marker to 6 hours when we do our celebration. So come out both times, 1:30, Lexington Cemetery for Gordon Granger's rededication of his marker, and 7:30 at African Cemetery Number 2 to find out what the United States Color Troops were all about and to celebrate our freedom.
And Yvonne, where is African Cemetery Number 2 for folks who may not have ever been there?
Okay. It's on 7th Street. The address is 419 East 7th Street. And our landmark is that we are adjacent to the Bluegrass Auto Parts. Most people know where that is. So, and we have an iron gated fence around the cemetery. We'll have signs out that allow you to enter. You can park inside. We ask that you wear a mask, bring your chairs, and sit 6 feet apart. We're still maintaining our social distance. Although the mask mandate is over, we're still asking people to observe it. we won't put you out if you don't. We would appreciate it if you still maintain your social distance, because we don't, you know, our vaccination rates are not as they should be, and we don't want to have any unnecessary closures again. So, you know, we just ask everybody to be observant and respectful of others. So 419 East 7th Street, 7:30 to 8:30, and generally we're through in 45 minutes. We get done, over. You can stand and talk until dusk, and then you have to leave. But we would appreciate you coming and participating with us and hearing about our history and just enjoying the evening.
Yes, and it is definitely going to be something that that our community is going to want to rally around. I bring this up earlier this week. The U.S. Senate unanimously cast a vote in favor of making Juneteenth a national holiday.
We're pleased, because that was an effort, was it 3 years, 2 years, 3 years ago or more now, maybe. There was a national movement to get every state in the union, I think there are 36 states, could be 38 now, who are celebrating Juneteenth. But the national movement was to declare it a national holiday. So, yay!
That's high praise from a historian right there.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Lexington historian Yvonne Giles, talking about this year's Juneteenth Jubilee. It takes place this Saturday evening at 7:30 at African Cemetery No. 2 on East 7th Street.